So hopefully you had a chance to hear a little bit about the story of somebody else at your table and a little bit about why they're here. I just want you to take a moment to think about what you heard from them and about what you said and try to clarify even further what you want to gain from this training. Try to think deeply about what it is that what questions you want answered. Some of you are here because you want to further God's work in healing you of your own hurts, habits, hang-ups. Some of you are here because you have relationships that you want to learn better how to relate to, whether it be a family member or a coworker. Some of you are here because you are in ministry already. You're already serving in a counseling capacity, and you want to clarify even further God's design for healing. And some of you are looking for a way to plug into the body of Christ in a way that will allow you to use the gifts that you have. Some of you have a natural inclination toward counseling. You're the kind of person that people just come to. They just feel comfortable opening up and sharing with you. And if you're that kind of person, then God wants you to get good at taking advantage of those opportunities that people give you when they come to you. And some of you who have great instincts with people will learn through this training how to put them to even better use and how to understand why the Spirit may be moving you in one moment to speak, in another moment to remain silent, in one moment to reach out and embrace, in another moment to refrain from embracing. And I think you'll be excited to see how that goes. Thank you, Tracy. This is Tracy Flaherty. Tracy is the director of the Lay Counselor Training, Lay Counselor Program here at Woodlands Church, and she is awesome. We met Tracy and her husband Patrick years ago before we ever started attending here, and fell in love with them, and Tracy's just awesome. You'll grow to love her. Pat Guth is the other person who works with lay counseling here at the church, and Pat and Tracy make the calls and do the scheduling and work with our lay counselors. So thanks, Tracy. Anything you want to say?
No.
Okay, cool.
It's awesome to see y'all here. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. I do want to say at the beginning that because there are so many people here, it's obvious that we're going to have more people willing to serve than we can actually incorporate into the program for lay counselors here. So if you're only wanting to be here with the guarantee that you'll serve as a lay counselor, I would probably rather you not keep going if you're going to feel completely disappointed if you're not selected to serve. I believe that all of you will be glad that you came to this training, that you'll find it so helpful that whether you serve in an official capacity or not, you're going to be grateful for what you gain. But having said that, some of you, we really need to help us out here. The way that we work the program is that women counsel women, men counsel men, and then we use couples to work with couples. And it's just remarkable. It's amazing to see what God does in those counseling rooms. And we have some of our lay counselors that are here this morning, and through their training, some of them will be coming. And I'm going to give them opportunity, if they care to give you a little insight or window into their experience in working with people, because it is truly remarkable to see how God brings people to salvation, brings them to a place of freedom and hope and healing. It's the greatest thing. So toward the end of the training, those of you who are willing to serve will go through a process of filling out a questionnaire. You'll get references for us. We'll have an interview, and then we'll go through the terribly difficult process of choosing which ones of you will serve, because unfortunately we always have more qualified candidates than we can use, and it's a source of grief to us that we can't use everyone that's equipped in an official way. But trust me, God will use you if you prepare yourself. He will use your gifts day by day as you encounter people as you go through your life. So I want to look a little bit more at the gap. There is a handout, I believe, let's see, is it the next page? Yeah, the next page, it says the gap up at the top. And what we're talking about, as I said before, is a gap in our experience between the ideal up here, what ought to be true, and the real down here, or what is. That every day, no matter how hard we try, there is always a gap between the ideal and the real. There's a gap in our experience of fulfillment, in our experience of peace. Even in our relationship with God, have you ever noticed that you don't always get what you want? Anybody notice that? that even if what I want is what I believe God wants for me, let's say I want to experience more peace. I don't want to worry. I don't want to be anxious. Ever notice that you're never perfectly at peace? That you're not always walking in faith and victory? Very often, even in our best moments, we realize that there's a gap. And ironically, the more you want to be there for people, the more you want to serve, the more you're going to feel that gap. Standing up here this morning, I know that at the end of the day, I'm going to think, oh, I wish I'd said this, or I wish I'd handled that differently. That actually reaching out and trying to serve people and being all that God has called you to be is going to put you into even more grief. Because you're always going to feel inadequate. You're always going to wish that you had more to give, more to share, more knowledge, more insight, or more wisdom. Thank you. That's good. I can see y'all better. Can you still see me okay?
Yes.
Awesome. Can you see the board okay? Yeah. Okay, awesome. If you can't, let us know. We'll brighten it up a bit. So we are in this gap between the ideal and the real. And it's in the gap that we experience grief. And grief shows up in our disappointments, in our frustrations. Shows up in the unmet expectations that we have in our marriage, in our work, in our environment, in our home, with our children. Every day, we experience grief. Even Jesus, though he lived perfectly on the planet, the Bible says he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, acquainted with suffering. In fact, if anybody who ever walked the planet was aware of the gap between what was possible and what was actual, it was Jesus. Everywhere he looked, he knew what God had designed man to be. He knew what loving relationship would look like. And yet, there was this chasm between the ideal and the real. There was this terrible gap for Jesus as well as there is for us. The gap ultimately allows us to enter into grace. When we sit down with someone in their grief, in their isolation, in their poverty, we, as I said before, we are entering into God's territory because God is close to the brokenhearted. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. And so when we enter into that gap with another person, when we engage in their grief, we are drawing near to God. Ultimately, we cannot bridge the gap between the real and the ideal. And in my growing up years, I kept trying through my humanity to bridge that gap, to be what I believed God wanted me to be. And I was determined to be God's person. But what I found was that human effort could only move this line down here just a tiny bit, that even in my best moments, the gap was still huge. Unfortunately, I thought that if I wasn't doing my best, that grace would not span the gap. That grace, my concept of grace was what made up the gap between my best and what God really expected. And that if I wasn't doing my best, I might be out of luck. I might be stuck with my own sin and depravity. But what we believe as Christians is that God himself has bridged this gap. That it was always his plan to stand in the gap for man. And that through the cross, God bridges this gap, that the cross is what allows us to engage with God in spite of our fallen nature. One way to think about Christianity is that it's the only religion that allows us to hold on to our own depravity and yet experience the righteousness that God has for us. I'll say it in another way. Christianity allows us, as in the words of the Apostle Paul, to be the chief of sinners, but also to be deeply loved, to be the righteousness of God, to be more than conquerors. And for Paul, it creates a tension, but not an irreconcilable tension, to be both more than a conqueror and the chief of sinners. If you think about a stringed instrument like the guitar that Ruth was playing, a stringed instrument depends on tension in order to play, right? If there's no tension in the strings, there's no music. And what I found is that although we often seek to resolve the tension between the ideal and the real. And the agnostic or the atheist, the hedonist, the pagan just focuses on the real and just says basically it is what it is. They resolve the tension by just denying that there is a God, denying that there's any expectation beyond what I am. Whatever I am is just fine because I choose not to look at the righteous demands of a holy God. So that's one way of resolving the tension. The other way that even some people in the church resolve the tension is to avoid the realities of their own depravity. They focus on things that they can control, like the Pharisee of Jesus' day, and say, well, I tithe, I pray 3 times a day, you know, I go to church, I don't hurt anybody. They focus on behaviors that they can control to resolve the tension, and they say, like the Pharisee in Jesus' parable, I thank God that I'm not like other men. You know, I'm glad that I'm like that guy over there, that publican, that tax collector, that sinner. And so many days we're tempted to resolve the tension by either giving up on what ought to be or just living in what is, or by living in denial of the reality of our own sin and living up here in our self-righteousness. Either one of those responses to the tension of living in the gap really fails to let God be God. It fails to let us live in the cross. The Bible talks about it taking up our cross daily and following Him. And so for those of us who want to serve God, those of us who want to live in the realm of grace, to let the music of heavens flow through us, we have to learn to live in this tension. And one of the things that you will help people do when they come to you is to realize that we are perfect in our imperfection. That wherever you are right now, if you can hold on to the truth that Jesus loves me, this I know for the Bible tells me so, and the truth that I am a sinner, that I am desperately wicked, that my heart is deceitful above all things, then we can invite those people to let God be God, to play on the strings of our heart. If we draw a few more strings up here, in a sense, this becomes the sound box, you know, if those of you who like musical instruments, living in that tension, letting the cross be central for us, is what allows God to play the music of heaven on our lives, to bring us into the fullness of His Holy Spirit. Well, I hope this makes a little bit of sense to you, because the reason that I'm starting out with it is that from the beginning of this training to the end, I'm going to be reminding you that God's ability to use you in the lives of others does not depend on you always knowing what you ought to do or say. Does not depend on you being the ideal Christian or being the fount of all knowledge or, you know, perfectly attuned to that person. But what does depend on is your hanging on for dear life to what God has called you to. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. We need to remind ourselves every day that if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. But day by day, I am also struck with my own inadequacies, with my own insecurities, my fears, my hurts, and the anger that I feel sometimes, or frustration at living in the gap. But if I get comfortable with living there, with being imperfect, with letting God be God and not feeling like I have to have all the answers, then I can give that to the people that come to me. I can help them to find peace even before we solve the problem. Because ironically, God wants you to have a peace that, in the Bible's terms, is peace that passes understanding. In other words, a peace that's beyond understanding. And we want to open up a lot of understanding for you in dealing with people so that when somebody starts sharing with you, you can kind of start thinking, oh yeah, I know where this is going, or I know how to help this person. But I also want you to know that if somebody comes to you and you're sitting there going like, oh shoot, oh shoot, oh shoot, you know, because you don't know anything about what they're experiencing, that even in that moment, you can have peace because God is still God. And it does not depend on your brilliance. your creativity, your insight, or your wording to be present with them in their pain. And the cool thing is that that what people need more than they need anything else when they're in pain is someone to be with them who can be calm, who can reassure them that all will be well. Now, they may want you to tell them how it's going to happen or what the next step is, or, you know, and you may have no clue. But you do have a clue that God is still in control. And that if we believe what the Apostle Paul says, that God is working in everything to bring about good, then whatever is being presented to this person in their life is something that if they surrender it to God, He will use to further His work in them and through them. Paul says, we know that. We know, we know, we know. God is at work in everything. Say it with me. Everything. Everything for good if we love Him and are called according to His purpose. Now, some of the people that come to us don't love God. They don't have that deep, heartfelt connection with Almighty God. And one of the greatest things that will happen for you is you will have the opportunity to lead someone into a loving relationship with God. Other people have some sense of affection for God, but they're not on the path of His purpose. They haven't signed on for His purpose of sanctification and transformation. And for those people, you're going to get to invite them to see the suffering in their life as God's invitation for transformation. Isn't that great? But if you become convinced that they love God and they are called according to His purpose of transformation, becoming like Jesus in every way, then you can be very confident when you say to them, I don't know what God is up to here, but I know He is up to something. We don't always know what God is up to, but we know He is up to something. If we belong to Him, He will not fail to use what we are presented with to further His purpose and to bring us from glory to glory. Isn't that great? And it's an awesome possibility that if you are on the path toward transformation, then you get to give the guy that's two steps behind you on the path a hand up. You know, the reality is that the guy at the top of the mountain can't help the guy that's struggling down at the bottom. And so if you're telling yourself, well, I'm not sure I'm equipped to help anybody because I'm still such a mess, you only have to be a couple of steps ahead of the person behind you. Because you need to be within arm's reach and you need to be able to connect with them in their pain. I have struggled mightily with my own besetting sins and frustrations and insecurities. And what I've realized over time is that it may be God's grace to let me continue to struggle in some areas of my life so that when I work with those who are struggling, it is an easy thing for me to say, oh yeah, I feel your pain. You know, I got that. I got that same struggle. May look a little different, but I've got the struggle. And so this tension between what ought to be and what is, between my ideal self and my real self, is something that isn't going to go away. Because there's always going to be a new horizon of transformation, a new depth of experience with God that will reveal both more of what ought to be and more of what is. As God invades your soul, you'll become more and more aware of your brilliance and your stupidity, your beauty and your ugliness. You know, it's the greatest thing. But living in that tension and allowing yourself to be stretched and tuned by God will allow Him to have His way with you. Okay, cool. Does this make sense? Okay, take just a minute and share at your table kind of what you've heard. Just two or three of you share what this is stirring up for you, and then we'll move on. If you want to make a note about what you've heard, one of the things that I'm going to do throughout the training is just pause periodically just to make sure that you have a chance to metabolize what you're hearing. And also, if there's a question or a comment, to give you an opportunity for that. Because what I know from past experience is that some of your questions will be the most value. Some of your comments will really bring things into great clarity. So I believe, do y'all have 3 by 5 cards at your table? Oh, good. If there are cards there, please use those when a comment or a question occurs to you. Write it down, and you can give it to me during the breaks or bring it up to me. I think we have a couple of roving mics so that we'll have Q&A throughout the time. If there's something that I'm saying that is unclear and you have a serious question or comment, feel free to flag me down. We'll need to get the mic to you so that the recording will have your comment or your question on it. But we want this to be interactive to get maximal value. So take just a minute, share at your table, and then we'll press on. If you've got a question or comment, you can either bring it to me or let me know, and we'll address that after you share.